zap.
I'm going to
zip, zap, zap, zap.
Testing.
One, two, three. Check it. Check it.
So, and Ben, keep your microphone position in mind. Maybe you want to move over a little bit.
Is this a good distance for me?
I think so. Yeah. No, you're good because you are the loudest. You're the one that I have to do them, which is good. I don't want you to change a thing.
No, it's just your voice.
Yeah, just how your voice is. It's insane. Your voice is insane. It's fucking crazy.
Get me an agent.
Do it.
Okay.
Are we recording?
5, 4.
Oh, God.
1.
Passions for Life, where your hosts Natalie Z and Travis Schultz pull back the curtain on your favorite show you always denied watching. It was
Passions.
Hello, Travis. Hello. Oh, we're also here with our friend Ben Hayes.
I'm back.
As usual.
Ben is back.
We're all in the same room now.
Right.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be back.
Good to see you.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. It's exciting.
All right. It's weird to see your skin.
I know. I don't know what to say. I'm a little tanner.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Travis? Not?
Yeah, tan from the fires.
Travis, do you have anything to say?
For yourself? Defend yourself now.
Were you going to ask me what I did this week or something like that?
Yeah, and then I ran out of steam.
You ran out of steam. I read an article this week that kind of frustrated me. So in Hollywood, there's a casting network that they go out and do interviews, and they'll call up actors and talk to them about their experience on jobs or how they got the job or what it's like working with these people and kind of fun stuff as an actor to read and kind of catch up on what's going on in the business. Well, this article was about Travis Fimmel, who is...
Not to be confused with Travis Schultz.
Not to be confused with Travis Schultz. He is on the Raised by Wolves, HBO's new show, Ridley Scott thing, which I've been watching. And I'm enjoying it because it's like sci-fi. It's kind of creepy and it looks really cool. So the interview, the headline is Travis Fimmel is a terrible auditioner.
Hmm.
And these articles really upset me.
Yeah, this is a real Achilles heel.
Yeah,
heel
I'm getting worked up.
This guy, see, yeah.
Here you are. You're like a actor focused, you know, online subscription thing based. And the first thing is you're like, look at this person who's on a super awesome famous hit and they suck at auditioning. And then you read the article and he's like, yeah, I'm not good at this. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like that happens.
A lot of people suck at auditions.
Like actors suck at auditions. And
successful,
he's very
actors too.
Upfront about that. And then you realize that he got the job. Scott went after him, did an interview with him. He's a model, liked his look, went and did an interview with him and gave him the job.
He never auditioned.
And I'm like, what the fuck is the point of this interview? You're trying to say it's hard to audition, and then you give an example of a guy who didn't even audition, who didn't even really have to like struggle to get this thing. He was just like a model that did some acting, and bam, now he's got it.
It's like interviewing a billionaire about like a billionaire that's like, I'm just not good at shopping for yachts. I just don't.
Right.
I'm not great at
right.
it. And but you know, yeah, I did it. I found a yacht, and let me tell you how.
Right.
Nobody fucking cares.
My billionaire friend didn't want his anymore,
right.
So I bought it from him.
Right.
And you're like, fuck you, man. That is not a story.
That's not a story.
Because it's so hard. It's so hard for actors. It's so hard to audition.
Especially right now.
And to say the story is Travis Fimmel really hates auditioning. He's not good at it. But look what he did.
But don't worry. He didn't have to.
Yeah, but don't worry. And sometimes you don't have to. If you're a supermodel and you happen to be a native of the country that they're shooting this amazing HBO series on, and the network gets a financial boost from the country because they hire local actors.
Oops. Relatable.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's not the article you write. The article is, Travis Fimmel doesn't feel confident auditioning, but he went in and he got Raised by Wolves for an HBO show. And now everybody knows his name. Yeah. And so can you. And it just like that to me is just irresponsible. And another reason why I'll sit here and say, don't get into acting. Because that's the stories that you read. And you can tell by my voice, I'm so frustrated by it because those stories happen all the time. It is just the way the industry is made. And so that's, you know, oof.
If you work really hard and, oh, nope, that's not, nope.
Right.
Oh, but
if you get good at auditioning and then you're going to lose the job. So, you know.
Well, nice little happy story.
Yeah.
For the top of the pod. Yeah. Thank you for getting that out.
I mean, you understand why I bring it up. I mean, just to bring it back to Passions is I failed my first audition. I bombed it. And the producer saw something in me and they brought me back. And then I worked so hard.
Yeah.
I worked weeks on that to make it so good. And I went into a situation that I'd never been in. I'd never gone to a studio and people put makeup on me and lights and then do a scene. I've only done theater. Like, and that's a good story. You know what I mean?
Like, I think that's inspirational.
And that fucked up the rest of the thing. Cause I was like, I understand how Hollywood works. You work hard, you overcome, and then you get a job. And after that, it never worked.
Was it Variety, Backstage? What was it?
Of course, it was there before you asked me. It's the casting network.
I think it's called the casting network, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it is. And they do some really good stuff. It's really, you find out who's getting jobs and, most of their stuff is really good. But this one interview, this one article really just, it upset me.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm really sorry.
That happened to you. And on behalf of all actors everywhere, we feel you.
Yeah. Feel you.
Ben?
Yes.
How's it going?
Oh, it's good.
Good.
I do have a interesting tidbit. It's very short.
Okay.
I called my friend Robert in Austin last week.
Yeah.
Robert. And and he answered the phone and he kind of laughed. He said, it's funny. I'm listening to your podcast. I'm listening to your voice on the podcast now.
Oh, that's cute.
When you called. And he's like, I'm going to use that as bragging rights at work. So
there you
Robert.
Go.
Well,
look at you, Ben.
Robert, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Thanks for, I guess he didn't do a shout out, did he? We're doing a shout out to him.
We're doing a shout out to him. He just was kind of amused by the situation. He thought it was kind of cool. I thought it was cool too.
So. Maybe we should do a shout out to all his
Robert and his wife, Misty.
And
by
Misty.
The way. Yeah.
But maybe all of Robert's friends that he works with are now listening.
Maybe he needs to.
That would be fun.
Needs to
rate and
promote
reviews.
The show.
Yeah.
So rate and review Robert and Misty.
There's a theme for this podcast.
There's rate and review.
But that was kind of cool.
This particular episode of the podcast is our first episode where we encounter the thing that I think most people remember from Passions, and it's not real life Gwen and Ethan getting married. It's the supernatural aspect of
it. It's not the double wedding. You're saying it's not the double weddings. It's the supernatural.
That's what I read in the soap mags.
Oh,
yeah. Well,
I think you're right.
You know, when you talk to people at Passions, they say, oh, that's the show with
the witch
witches.
And the doll.
Yeah, with the witches and the doll, right?
Yeah.
And for how many episodes of this podcast?
We've been, I feel like 6 or 7 episodes, we have not had any
Zero.
Of that. So this is a really exciting.
Yeah. I mean, the stuff is there, but we just haven't been watching it because we're just watching stuff with Gwen and Ethan.
I think that they were introducing the new Gwen. I'm giving them too much credit as usual, but
this
I think
like
that
360.
No, but I think they were introducing the new actress
who
was playing Gwen.
And they were working you into the...
So poor Ben, the episode 359, somehow it got preempted. I think we were trying to figure out, was it the election or was it Thanksgiving? Because it was November of 2000.
It was Thanksgiving.
It was Thanksgiving.
It was Thanksgiving. So there was some football game or some parade. There was a bowl game or a parade. Or
maybe
something
the Thanksgiving
that happened.
Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
It could have been that.
Perhaps. Wait, so 359 never aired.
Never aired.
I guess not. No.
So never people happened. Were Well, I guess people weren't confused because they'd probably been
just
watching.
Just you. You were the only one who was
confused. Because I think it was like a Monday, too. I think it was a
recap. It definitely wasn't the Thanksgiving parade if it was a Monday. Anyway, none of that matters. No. All that matters is that in skipping one episode, poor Ben here really had to dive into a completely new characters, yes. New genre, new
actors playing characters.
Well, I thought it was interesting because we've talked about how nothing ever happens on the episodes.
Right.
But the lie to that is that I missed one episode, or we missed one episode, right. And I was completely thrown for a loop.
Fun, huh?
Yeah.
Totally.
It's good.
So, Ben, we just broke the genre.
Right.
Yeah. We did it. Okay, we can go.
Yeah.
Bye.
You have to watch every episode in order to know what's happening.
But if you watch every episode, then it seems like nothing ever happens.
Nothing ever happens.
Right.
No,
right. And what's great is you miss that episode and then they tell you anyway.
Oh, yeah. No, they'll fill you in.
Yeah.
We got in this episode, our introduction to the supernatural stuff is Molly Stanton,
yes.
Playing Charity.
Molly. Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about Molly real quick before we get into like the...
Yeah, sure. I don't have...
Because I know she's not yet part of the supernatural stuff, but in the next episode she will be.
Oh, no, she is.
I know. But in this episode, it's Charity and Miguel talking about...
What? So...
Making love.
Wait, we're just moving on to that.
Okay, we'll go back to we're Molly. I just got excited because I have so many things to say about Molly. Yeah, let's... Okay, we'll talk about Kay and Hecuba first, and that will segue us into Molly.
Okay,
and,
so we're so confused about Hecuba.
Okay, we're very confused
because there is a Greek Hecuba, right? That we all know is not a witch.
No, she was just a queen.
She was just a very tragic character.
Yes,
written by Euripides.
We assume that
Stoppard.
It's not Stoppard. So
she might have been in a Stoppard.
Hecuba. Can somebody, listeners? Can somebody look up if there was a Hecuba character in a Stoppard play? We think that maybe the writers just thought the name was cool.
Yeah.
Seems like
Well, it sounds like Hex a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So witches.
Yeah, maybe there was some alliteration there that they were like, yeah.
Way to go, Ben.
That's why we have you here.
I also.
We'll go with that.
Let's go with that. I want to, I always want to talk about the actors. I want to talk about Robin Strasser, who played Hecuba.
Okay.
And how Robin was an established soap actress. And I want to know how the fuck much money they offered her to do this shit.
Right.
She's really good. And
yeah,
she's got a rep.
Fun with it.
Yeah. Like the others who knew not to take it so seriously. She really did exactly what she was supposed to do with that.
I really think the costume for her was really like theater high school.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, what was going on there? It was so... Like, well, we just got this thing here. This is a curtain. We'll just cut it and put it on you and call it a cape. Like, it was so weird. And like that, was that, what kind of hat was that? Was that supposed to be a genie hat?
It was a turban.
Yeah.
It was a turban?
Yeah. I think I think her costuming is brilliant. And I think it's going to continue to be just really on point.
Oh, man. I was like, there's so
many.
I mean,
we're doing high school theater right now. So like, great. Let's embrace it.
It's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's playing.
Okay.
I mean, look at the character she's playing. Mm-hmm. Like, what else is she supposed to wear? Stumped him.
Yeah, you did.
Ben, I was hoping
maybe you could chime in there.
No, I mean, I just, once it's off the page, it's not my deal.
Well,
okay,
it never happens, so I'm glad everybody got to hear it.
I stand stumped.
Thank you.
Well, that was confusing to me because I had not seen, I mean, the first thing you see in this episode is Kay being taken into hell by a tree.
Yes.
Which...
Oh, special effects. We get special effects, which we haven't had yet.
Oh, yes. The little vines wrapping around.
And Deanna Wright, who plays Kay, going under the soundstage. I don't know how they, I mean, did they, was that actual?
Yeah, they build a false. They build a false floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was probably a set that they built up and then dragged her down.
So fun. We never got to do any, well, I guess you did.
I went to hell through a closet.
That's true. I never got to go to hell. I was just in hell.
What I loved is that hell looked like a really weird antique store in a basement.
Yeah, it didn't look too bad.
I was like, oh, this is hell?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was,
That was that antique store that we went to in Oxnard.
Yeah, it's, just it's like, fine.
It's creepy. Smells weird, but.
Yeah, a little dusty.
Yeah,
I'm comfortable here.
Yeah. Nothing some endos.
Look at this. What is, look at this. Yeah. This is from the
1800s.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much is this?
Hell was fine.
Hell was fine.
I didn't mind.
I will say Hecuba is not tidy.
No. No, it did feel a little bit like a like an attic of a, I don't know, an older librarian, perhaps.
Yeah. Antique store?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
In Oxnard?
Like a,
in Oxnard.
Like an okay. Oxnard.
You guys, said, you said it right. You said it first. I can't improve on that.
Yeah, I am.
Let my soundbite win.
It was the special, I mean, it's low-hanging fruit to bag on it, but it is kind of interesting it from is. A story, like, you know.
Well, it was also, to be fair, I'm assuming the only daytime drama that employed any kind of effects, special or not. Yeah. So, you know, they worked with what they had, I guess.
Unspecial effects is what we called it.
Well,
and that's the other thing, too, about that is like the unspecial effects and then how Hecuba is explaining how magic works to Kay.
Yeah.
And I thought that was such a weird way to write this scene where... I'm like, what is the payoff here? Is Kay being crafty here? Because I know Kay is supposed to be this like really kind of idiot savant about being evil. Like she kind of stumbles into it and she tricks people to do stuff.
Yeah, passively evil. That's right, so much fun to watch.
Right,
everybody wants to evil, watch that.
I know because it's also how do you play that? But I'm like, why was that the dialogue given to Hecuba where she just explains magic to Kay? Why couldn't it be about...
Because they had to fill up the time.
I know,
it felt the whole thing felt like a stall.
It felt like a stall, yeah.
To get to the next episode where things actually go down.
Right, the whole time I'm like, Hecuba is a terrible closer. Like, she cannot close this deal.
I know, and that's really that's why
she wants to buy the soul.
She really should watch
and
Gwen
Kay's
Gary
like,
LaRosse.
Wait a minute, prove it. Okay, I'll prove it. And then the next thing she's like, I'm still not convinced. Prove it again. And then Hecuba says, okay, I will prove this to you one more time. And that happens like five times.
Yeah. It's a Tuesday episode. It's got to be.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess that's what you do.
If you're writing a show with magic and supernatural stuff, why limit yourself to just sort of ordinary human interactions?
Because it's Tuesday.
Okay.
Because yeah. It's Tuesday and we got to make it to Friday.
We got to make it last.
All right.
We got to jump actually to Charity Miguel.
Just one more thing about Kay Hecuba.
Okay, let's go.
And this is something, it's only for Natalie. Does having sex make you a woman?
Oh, this is something that is, this was brought up. It was that book I read. So I read a book called Girls and Sex. And there's a lot of talk right now amongst young ladies about this idea of one's virginity being taken or being given away. And it's sort of like the left-right divide that we're all feeling in our bones right now.
Patriarchal.
Yeah. It's like, the power of giving something away or giving somebody else the power to take it when where we need to be, and I'm, so says the author, and I'm on the same page with her, is let's not view it as this thing that's going to make us a woman, that's going to change our lives, that's going to get us to the next stage of you know, whatever we think we need to be. Rather, let's view it as just one more thing that happens in our life.
Right. It's not a rite of passage.
Exactly. It is, you have sex and you've had sex. Don't look at it as something as giving something away or having somebody take something from you. That it's this like intangible bullshit thing that doesn't exist. Your hymen's broken and then it's done. And
so
then you move
it's
on.
The Puritan built up that we've established
in
this country.
And I think that, you know, this particular concept is indicative of the very problematic issue with the writers and their female problem. And
go ahead.
Well, just the misplacement of the importance of virginity. And I'm not saying that it's not important to a lot of girls. It is. It's huge. But we've, as a society, we've done that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, especially in this episode and you know, the people that are replying and sending in questions and stuff are a lot of women.
Mm-hmm.
They're women now, but they were 12-year-old girls, 14-year-old girls. And I'm watching the show and I'm cringing because I'm I'm thinking about how they're like, is that, are they watching the show thinking that's how I feel about my sex with the way Charity does and the way Kay does?
Yeah.
Or are they just looking at this going, God, this is so ridiculous. I just love watching how ridiculous it is.
Yeah, I mean, one hopes it's the latter.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, we're going to work our ass off to make sure that she, ours, the one upstairs, certainly doesn't take any kind of serious influence from any of this shit. But yeah, I mean.
Well, that's why you get to limit the
screens, the screen guys. Time. Limit the screens. It's our PSA.
Yeah.
That's a great question, and it actually does flow.
So losing your virginity
seamlessly into the Charity and Miguel.
It does. But stuff. Just to recap, losing your virginity is like a Tuesday episode of Passion.
It should be.
Okay, great.
I think it should be.
Great.
I think let's just like
onward to Charity, virginity, charity, virginity, virginity, charity.
Air quotes. Yes. Air quotes.
I don't know if I'm using those air quotes right.
I don't think you are. I don't think that means what you think it means.
Charity, virginity.
Well, I have a question for you, because when I watched this, my first thought was, who the hell is Charity?
Yes, of course.
So has she been in the show before?
So, yes.
I mean, I don't know. I would say they probably should be,
Wouldn't
but this
be
is passion.
Wouldn't that be great if that was her introduction, just like this midlife?
This is why we have been.
Yeah. Based on the things you've told me, though, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility.
It would not.
Ben is all in. He's like, guys, I have to ask a question. Maybe you sound dumb.
I have to assume
have
that
to
this could be the thing.
Yeah.
No, Charity. Good question. Charity, in fact, great question. Charity, in fact, has been established, and she is a very, very important. She's one of the. There are, I think, two, for the most part, two female characters on this show. There's the woman who a man or several men go after, and then there's the woman who the man is repelled by. She's very, very important because she is one of the few women that the man goes after.
Okay.
And that's Miguel, because she is pure and she is good and she is passive and a little bit weak. And
so although she is driving the desire to make love.
Well, she is. So
in this episode,
I'm wondering. Because here's another complex thing that comes up that you'll see. There's also evil Charity.
Yes.
Yes. Who is different, I think, from Kay as Charity. But that's later. Right. That's
I
later.
Thought that's
but,
what you meant.
No.
But okay. No, the evil. So there's also what Nellie's talking about. That's kind of the storyline reality world.
What?
Charity's day-to-day life is what Natalie's talking about. Charity actually is a supernatural being that is part of the lore of Harmony.
Yes. So she has these latent powers.
Her and Tabitha are actually... Tabitha is like evil. Charity is good, but she is untouched.
Yes.
Sacred, holy.
Virginal.
And Tabitha is trying to... stop that from happening.
Tabitha wants her to be bad.
Right. Tabitha wants her to lose her virginity. Right?
Yeah,
I'm
in
sure.
61,
wants her to make 61. Love.
Yeah,
wants her to make love.
Wants her to make love, but I'm not sure when evil Charity comes in. But there is an evil Charity, and she's separate from Charity being Kate. Yeah, there's a lot. It gets complex.
But it is. She's the good and evil. Which is part of the harmony.
To answer your question about
Twin Peaks,
yes, she is driving the whole make love to me thing. I was wondering, is this evil Charity or is this Charity? Because it at times felt like she was being disingenuous. She was being manipulative in a way that Charity, I don't remember her being.
This is Reg Charity.
Reg Charity. I think it is Reg Charity. So you do make a good point. I am wondering what there's something on the DL going on, and I'm not really sure what it is.
Maybe they thought they were being feminist by not having by having the woman like be in the driver's seat, so to speak.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, no, you might be right. That could very well be.
I'm not saying it. Succeeded.
No, but maybe that was their one attempt.
Yeah.
Sure.
That is rich.
Can I also make a very superficial observation about Charity / Molly Stanton? I was getting such a heavy young Gwyneth Paltrow vibe from her. Anyone else?
I thought she looked a little bit like Liza Huber.
Oh, yeah. Maybe like a cross between Liza and Gwenny.
Hair-wise?
It was the hair. Yeah. They both have sticks.
I mean, these are all kind of lo-fi things on... They were watching,
it's,
so.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, this was pre HD.
I just feel like the way her cadence and her voice, especially, was very, very young, like Gwyneth Paltrow in Flesh and Bone. Look it up; it's great. It's a great movie. It was filmed in my hometown.
I have a question for Travis and Val.
Yeah,
because based on the Miguel charity scene, did you guys have like a really big mirror in your high school rooms, like that? Because I did not.
No.
Shake from Val.
I did not. The mirror was in the bathroom.
Right. Exactly. Right. So when you got your mousse, which is what we used at the time.
Yeah.
Right.
You'd go style your mousse in your hair in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Didn't have like a...
Oh, you guys didn't have big like...
Oh, no, I had a full length on the door, on the back of the door.
Yeah. Right, in the bathroom. Okay.
No.
In your bedroom.
Okay, so Val did. Yeah. That's so a Val check did. For Val. I did not.
I could listen to my music while I put mousse in my...
Yeah,
oh,
dude.
Important.
See, yeah. I did it in the bathroom, important. The shared bathroom.
Did you have a little boombox in your bathroom growing up?
I think we had radios all around.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no. My mom would have been like, you're just going to throw it in the bathtub for your brother. Kill him.
Well, when you were a teenager?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
God. She was rough.
Homicidal tendencies.
No, my mom never said that.
What is that? not patricide.
That was,
fratricide.
That's right.
Yeah.
Fratricide.
Well, I don't remember the heavy, heavy Gwyneth vibe from Molly Stanton, but it was there. And Travis, me and you and Molly actually became friends.
Yeah.
Towards the end of our run at Passions, she was such a delight. I don't know where I've looked her up. I don't know where she is now. I don't know if she's still acting, but she was really fun. And it was one of those friendships where I'm like, fuck, why didn't we hang out the whole time?
Mm. Well,
she's a SoCal girl. She grew up in LA, I think.
It was those worlds were so separate on set.
Yeah, we never crossed.
We never crossed worlds. So they would come in and do the morning, and then we would come in and do the afternoon.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't a lot of mixing, and when you were done with work, you didn't hang out.
Mm-mm.
You know, you went on and did your day. So that's really why it was just proximity and scheduling.
Yeah. Really. And then we would, like, I remember when she would have scenes before us, I would go down early so I could hang out with her in between takes because.
Well, and that's why, you know, talking with Mackenzie, it was fun to do the big scenes for the first week.
The first day. Okay, I'll give you the first two days.
Got to hang out.
Yeah, that was really fun.
But then after that week, it was like, okay, now, you know, me, Galen, and James are having too much fun.
Yeah. Too much fun, which is code for really fucking off and making it go way later than it needs to go.
Yeah.
And it's also just the standing around. Well, I'm not going to complain about actorship, but it was really fun to get. You know what was really fun was getting to do scenes with people that you never got to do scenes with before, especially the later, mm-hmm. like the longer you were on the show. And it would be this novelty, oh my God. Oh, we get to, it's like, they're going to name drop Walton Goggins,
Boom.
Who I Check. Worked with on Hold Justified. On. Did you get it? Check it off. I worked with him on Justified, The Shield, and The Unicorn. I've worked with him on three different shows. But we've never done scenes together until The Unicorn. And I remember the first time we were in a scene together on Justified, I entered the room and he exited the room at the same time. That was the closest we ever got to. And we were
in
so
Justified?
Yeah, we were excited that maybe something, nope. somebody was, nope.
Nope.
No. Nobody suggested, hey, these two. No.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So don't worry. I got mine coming up.
Yeah.
Exciting. Very exciting. So yeah, that was always such a real, like, it was just such a treat, like an unexpected treat to be like, what's going to happen here? Maybe there's going to be some, like if it was a, you know, if it was a boy and a girl.
You'd have those conversations like with Jesse. I'd be like, Miguel, I wonder how I feel about Miguel. And he'd be like, I don't know. Like, do we hate each other? And we'd be like, no, let's be buddies. Like, it's Miguel fun. And Ethan are cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
because you like, don't know there are like, those weird combinations.
And Miguel's like, he's like, yeah, like you'd love my sister. That's great. I don't care. You know, Luis is a dipshit. You know what I mean? Luis is a jerk. You know, it's that kind of thing we always talked about. And when it finally happened, we never got the opportunity to play that out.
Well, it was just like you were standing next to each other. Yeah, I
and
think
because you do a scene with Charity and you'd be like, Do I?
I don't know
Ethan
you.
No, Charity.
Yeah.
You're just those people that like work in the store for me. You know what I mean? Like, right. Oh, I see right. you on the side of the road with your groceries. You know what I mean? Like, we would be like, who? What is our relationship in this world?
Yeah. No, nobody cares.
It, but like, I go to the never... prom.
Well, that's yeah, because you got to be in the prom boat disaster.
You got to compete in the best couple contest.
Yeah, with your wedding dress.
Oh, God, I just remembered. I actually went to a real prom.
Go on.
A real prom. I was a guest
as date. Ethan.
As Travis at a real prom.
Well, you need to, you Norris. Can't just open this can of worms and then.
No, I'm saving it.
Oh.
Okay.
For what? We're on the pod, right? We're recording.
I'm saving it for the, oh.
Do you want to save that one, babe?
No, I just did it glanced in my head. I didn't really plan on talking about it, but yeah. I went to a prom in New Orleans, and we went out to dinner. Let's see, I flew in.
Can you set it up for us? We don't really know what you're talking about.
I'm lost.
Nobody knows lost. What you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So there was this contest.
There we go.
That Passions did.
Yep.
There we go.
And necessary it contest. Was yep. you get to take Ethan to your prom. Mm. And Travis Schultz. And so this girl won out of New Orleans. And so I flew down there and we went to dinner and we got to hang out and took pictures. And she was awesome. I wish I could remember her name, but we had such a good time. She was so cool.
Thank God. Thank I mean, that could God. Have gone.
I was like, so... I was so nervous. I was more nervous. And she was so chill and like knew how silly this was. Yeah. But she was just. Like, this is cool.
And we've got some questions.
So many questions, yeah. And we went to the prom and we danced and the whole school was there. And you know, they're like, all right, now it's Travis and there's a girl. And we danced and like half the school didn't give a shit. Except, and then it was like her friends and the people were like, oh, this is kind of weird. Well, but fun, you know, and it was very... I was surprised on how it was handled because the high school kids that were into it, and they were having fun with it. And the ones that weren't into it didn't care.
They didn't care.
They were just having their prom. Because that was my big fear is that here I am, this like 20-year-old D-bag, and I'm going to ruin somebody's prom. And fortunately, it didn't.
I feel like you were older than 20.
Yes.
I want to say.
I was 45.
This was last year.
You remember when I told you that I went to the ranch?
Oh, shit.
He went to the prom.
I
saw the movie that they made from this.
What?
It's called Win a Date with Tad Hamilton.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And wait,
weren't you in that? Were you Tad Hamilton?
Wasn't that Jesse?
No. Josh Duhamel? Was it Josh Duhamel?
I think so.
Okay. Listeners?
Josh Duhamel.
We're getting a nod.
Yeah, we're getting a nod from Val.
Yeah. The poor man, Travis Schultz.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Do what you can, right?
Josh,
Are we moving on to the funeral?
We have to move on to the funeral. Yeah,
let's move funeral's on to the funeral.
I have most of my reactions.
Got some notes. You got some notes. Oh wait, but very quickly before we move on, I glanced at my note. There are some chestnuts just now, and you and I are very much on the same page. Benjamin Hayes, I wrote, is this sex ed PSA that Charity and Miguel are doing? Is that what a gay man's idea of how straight teenagers talk about sex? I think that may have been it.
I think yours is better than I was saying this was lifted from an episode of Degrassi Junior High.
Okay. Yours all right. So we all better. Have it to. And this one thinks that they were attempting feminism. I love all of these.
Okay. You know what? Listeners.
You decide.
You decide. Is it in this scene with Charity Miguel? Is it Ben? Is it their attempt at feminism by showing Charity with
Look,
the.
Look, I can just hear the conversation power. In this room. I'm misguided as it is, I can hear the conversation.
Well, Ben has been in many writers' rooms, so he may be the one to go with. I don't know.
Right. Or is it literally lifted from Degrassi Junior High, the show?
Or is it a gay man's idea of how straight teenagers talk about sex? Well, in 2000.
There's a unifying theory here, and it has to do with Natalie.
Oh, let's hear
in
it.
In the funeral scene, I hear the creeping beginnings of your mid-Atlantic accent.
Yeah.
Which... If that's where they're going, then it makes sense that they never say sex. They only say making love.
Yes.
Because they're basically stuck in the late 50s and early 60s.
You see what
yes,
I'm saying?
They are.
Yes.
So wait a minute. Yeah. So you didn't hear it in the first three episodes?
Didn't hear it then.
When it was really, really
But maybe
heavy?
It's because we've hung out since then. And I've heard you do your, like, Katharine Hepburn when we were hanging out.
When we were making fun of Kate Blanchett's performance.
Yes, Oscar. That's what it was.
Who won an Oscar for that performance?
Well, but we're
Aviator.
In The Aviator.
Yes. So Jesus. Now that I've heard it, it's stuck in my head. So when I saw this episode, I was like, there it is.
I see. I thought that I had chilled out quite a bit on the Mid-Atlantic.
It could be just be the way it's hitting my ear now. That's all. But I did notice it here. And
fresh ears.
Yeah.
Fresh
ears don't lie.
Ethan will be mine. Is something that I say quite a bit. And I believe this is the first of many. Ethan will be mine.
Yeah.
Listen.
Is this a funeral or a visitation? Because there's a lot of things that are weird about it, which we'll talk about.
I was trying to remember the same thing.
Yeah.
I think when the casket is open, it's a viewing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
but isn't that
you close it.
Well, then you, I mean,
and
I've
you
only
bury
been,
it.
Yeah.
Bury it. Just the coffin.
Hopefully.
You put the body
just
in.
Stow it.
In a gutter. And then that you have to do the burial.
The burial.
Burial. And then you do the wake. Right?
I don't know. I think it depends on the culture we're
right.
talking about.
If you're Irish or whatever. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I have a thing. If I'm going to go off on my social commentary
in a
second.
Let's stick to Natalie's voice. Yes. Because, Natalie, first of all, your voice is higher.
Yeah, I had this thing.
You were doing...
I had this thing for a long time in my career where I would lower my voice to be taken seriously because I was so little.
Oh,
you should start a tech company.
That's all I have to do.
That maybe can analyze one drop of blood.
Well, you know, what's great about doing that is then you get older and you go the other direction.
Hmm.
And you start speaking like a little girl so people won't notice that you have wrinkles.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the trick, guys.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Because I did, speaking of that, notice that you've aged in this episode. So it's all clicking together.
Yeah.
She had aged. And she,
I was under a lot of stress. I just started a new job on a soap opera.
Yeah.
You see, so
I don't know if it was because of that. I think it was because of the hair pullback and the makeup and the outfit.
See, that's funny. I thought I looked so much better. I mean, not to equate youth with beauty, but that's honestly what the world does.
Not in Los Angeles. Not in Hollywood.
Not in Hollywood, no. And not with you. I know you're a weirdo about that. Travis likes mold. lucky me. But yeah,
it's hold my back.
Very strange kink. No kink shaming though.
No kink shaming here.
No kink shaming here.
Yeah, I thought I looked better. But,
okay.
But yeah.
Agree to disagree.
This was also my first scene. Speaking of doing fun scenes with new people, this was my first scene with Galen.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking like, this guy's great. This is going to be really fun. He's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
It was the beginning of friendship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what are they doing? He's like wandering outside the church and he walks back in.
I don't know.
There's a lot of wondering too, because I was laughing at Ethan is at his aunt's funeral and he's walking around talking about who he loves.
Yes. And he really needs to get married. Really
he
quickly.
Really needs to. There was a, I have a note here that says creepy women creeping in the church.
I have a theory about that. Sorry, go ahead.
Creepy women creeping in the church vestibule. What? Anybody? Know what that means? Were there creepy women creeping in the church vestibule?
Oh,
I wrote it down.
There were some ladies.
They had
but
to address a note that I had, which is it seems like Sheridan's circle of friends is like five people.
Well,
that was something else. I was like, man, Sheridan didn't have a lot of friends
or family. I mean, where's?
Well, they're coming.
Okay,
they're coming.
Oh, they'll be here.
Right. But yeah. And you know, speaking of getting older, Ethan was losing hair.
I saw that.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, Ethan was on Rogaine in this episode.
I saw that.
So,
what is that about? Did Ethan just discover a better
pharmaceutical? I mean, you will notice throughout the seasons or the episodes of this show, Ethan's hair goes all different directions.
We really did not establish anything.
And this is what was smart about like James and Jesse and Galen is they had their hairstyle. And I think this is also like they were smart about this. They had a great hairstyle and they stuck with it.
Yeah.
You know, it changed, but only a little. And I didn't know any of this stuff. So I didn't get haircuts. And then they would and hair, they'd say, Travis, you need a haircut. And they'd cut my hair. And I'd be like, oh, this this looks like the haircut I got when I was a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
And
did you learn nothing from
And I learned nothing because I, and then I started, I finally started going to a hairstylist that was in Beverly Hills.
Same one they sent
and,
me to.
And
sure.
It was so expensive.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I remember one time I went to like the barber around the corner in Studio City, and that was a terrible haircut.
It's a great
I mean,
shot,
that,
the barber
you've seen
around
those headshots.
The barber around the corner.
You've
yeah.
seen those
I've
headshots.
Seen those headshots.
Those headshots where it's like, Travis, who is this?
Well, then there's the one.
I mean, I didn't know how to, I didn't, I, you know, what was that? What's the show?
Passions.
No, the show where they come in and make a guy take care of himself. Metrosexual.
Queer Eye.
Thank you. Jeez. Yeah. Like it was like Queer Eye was beginning. And then I'm like, oh, I can do this. But I didn't know how to do it. But so my hair was all over the place.
Yeah.
Well, it looked good. It was just, but yeah, I did, it's crazy that you said it because I did notice. I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
What's happening there in
Balding.
The temples? Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to get away from the superficial, but did anyone check to see if Sheridan was breathing before
she was.
Well, I mean, just anyone, like, you know, the doctor.
Mm. Oh, I thought you meant the viewer, the viewing audience.
No.
Did anyone bother to check and see if she was?
No, she already went to the hospital.
Yeah.
But no one, that just got like overlooked. Like, well, she's dead. Is she breathing? It doesn't matter. I'm pretty sure
she's visibly
dead.
Breathing.
No. She went to the hospital. They already did a checkup.
Right.
What do you call
a
that?
A checkup on the
autopsy.
Dead person.
They did an autopsy on her. And just because she's talking inside her head doesn't mean she needs to breathe.
She has locked-in syndrome, by the way.
She does.
Boom, boom.
Yeah.
It's like that Metallica video, One.
Oh, yeah. Let's not talk about it. That's my fucking, that, no.
Ding, ding, ding,
thanks,
ding.
Thanks for that.
Ding, ding, ding.
Well, I'm just saying, had we,
dinch, dinch, had, dinch.
Stop. It will haunt me for the rest of my days. We're going to have to pay royalties.
What is that movie?
Johnny, get your gun.
Johnny, get your gun.
Why are we still talking?
Johnny got his gun.
Why are we still talking about this?
Let's move on, Natalie. I can see Natalie shaking with anger.
Is not my favorite subject matter.
Yeah.
Also, are we in a Christian film strip? It was the other question I had. When Galen is talking to Louise is confused about the religious dogma that the priest is talking.
Like, Louise is a very terrible, bad Catholic.
Terrible.
Like,
Catholic.
He does not get any of it. Ben?
Well, yes.
Ben.
Let me speak for all of Catholics.
Okay,
please.
Go.
This priest is the worst priest ever, by the way.
Oh, like, okay. No. You just wait.
Okay.
Because he's very misleading in a way that should be obvious. He's like, oh, no, Sheridan's not dead. Louise is like, what?
That's so funny. I'm blaming Louise. I'm blaming Louise for being so naive
them both.
To not see the metaphor. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's clearly a metaphorical statement, but Louise is blowing past that. And
yeah, that's what I love, the idea that Louise is like, wait, Jesus came back? Wait, so she came back too?
Well, yeah, but he's not like, fool me once. I saw her on the deck or the port or whatever the fuck that is.
Right.
Fool me twice, doc. I knew it was something. Yeah, he's not really getting it. That like
he is really obtuse.
I think he's stressed out. He just started a job on a soap opera.
Okay.
He's looking a little old.
No. I just love that the priest succeeded in his bait and switch. So he sets the hook.
Right.
We go to some other storylines and come back.
Yeah.
And the priest is like, slow your roll. What I meant was not that she's literally alive, that her soul is alive.
You're a real dumb dummy if you think
in subtext,
she's right there in that room,
idiot.
Breathing, obviously. Yeah. But she's in a coffin.
And Louise, I just want to say this again. It'd be great to see you in more services.
I like what Natalie's saying. What the priest should have said is, she's alive. I mean, clearly, if you just go look at her,
her
chest is moving up and down.
Her finger is moving. I can
guys,
see
that's
that
the next
so
episode.
Far away.
Yeah.
Oh,
your
sorry.
Spoiler alert.
Somebody's obsessed with just double of everything, because I believe Rebecca mentions a double funeral.
Yes, I have that as well.
Yes.
Double funeral.
Also not a thing.
No.
Oh, I don't mean to say also. I guess double wedding is a thing. We got.
But
we
probably
your,
rare.
Yes.
Your email, yeah.
Funerals are expensive.
Yeah.
I guess a double funeral would make, like, if it's a husband and wife.
Save some money.
This also I don't want to
talk
about.
You probably could do a double funeral.
I don't want to do this.
Okay.
Okay.
What about that organ music? It was very elaborate.
You're the only one who noticed.
I did.
I was like, is that a... So I'm sorry, and this may get cut, but it sounded like they were performing a real song. And it reminded me of when I was in Catholic school and I was a mass musician. So me and my friend Xavier, I played bass, he played guitar, and we were supposed to play music that is like interlude music.
Right.
We would play REM songs.
Yeah, you would.
And just kind of sneak it in there.
That's so great. Awesome.
So you'd be like, you'd go get your, you know, go to communion, and you'd be walking back, and we'd be playing the music, and it'd be like, you know, end of the world, but really slow.
That's funny.
And nobody picked up on it.
Who knew
your friends?
Our friends, some of the friends knew, but the nuns did not.
The nuns did not.
And that was the point.
Interesting.
The radio was the devil.
No, we had great nuns, by the way.
Oh, you did?
Not going to let you get away with that.
Great nuns.
We had really cool progressive nuns.
Cool progressive nuns.
Yeah.
Shout out.
So did they make you? Did they help shape the bin that is with us now?
Yeah. Sister Digna, shout out.
Nice.
Taught us evolution.
What?
Progressive nuns.
That is progressive.
That's what I'm going to be for Halloween.
Yeah. Nuns on the bus.
Progressive
nuns. Progressive nuns run for president. Hey, so it kills me to tell you this.
Uh-oh.
Is something that Louise says a lot.
Oh, it kills me to tell you this?
It kills me to tell you this. Never said that.
I noticed I may be looking way too much into this, but
I'm going to start saying that to you, Natalie.
I wish you would.
Kills me to tell you this.
Very dramatic.
I'm going to say it to Ray.
Don't say it to Ray.
Kills me to say it.
She'll pick it up, and then she's going to start saying it back to us.
I'm not going to let you sing Frozen.
I noticed that Passions was a bit of a precursor to the whole can I steal you for a sec?
Oh, that's the reality.
From The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. Because...
Go on.
They would sit on a... So Ethan and Gwen would sit on a bench, and she would tell him how much she cares for him and how much she loves him, and here's why you should pick me, and you're so great. And Ethan would be like, oh, I don't know, you're great, but the other one's great too. And then Teresa would be, can I steal you for a sec? I mean, obviously not, but like that same sort of like...
It's that energy,
...mode that they've kind of... gotten stuck into these Bachelor Bachelorette shows. And yes, I watch it. I know everybody watches. But this feels like it was maybe we did it first.
It does feel like that now that you mention it. I mean, I've only seen that when it's parodied on SNL, but it certainly has that feel.
It's got that vibe. And it's even on a bench.
Yeah.
Which is like pretty soothsaying if you
I'll be right back, Gwen. I'm going to go talk to
the other
Teresa about what our conversation was.
I'm going to see if she has a better deal.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Are they coming to get us?
I think we're okay.
Okay.
Acknowledging there are sirens. There are sirens and we're in the background.
Sirens
stopping
and
for,
it's also
we're
fire, fire, fire season.
We're not
going to
stop because it's fire season and it's life.
Yeah.
Passions for life.
Passions for life.
I think that's a great place to wrap it up. The cops are coming.
Cops are coming. We got to go.
We got to go.
Yep.
We got to hide all the stuff.
We got to hide the stuff.
The goods.
And this was a jam-packed episode considering that it was a fucking Tuesday.
It was a fucking Tuesday.
Or whatever.
So. I mean,
I think that's going to be code for...
Doesn't matter.
A lot of surprises for us because we didn't know we got the Supernatural for the first time. We got to see some new characters.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
But we're going to launch headlong into the next one.
Yeah, the next one's got some real juicy shit.
So going in hot.
361
going
is the next
hot.
One.
361 if you would like to play along, do the drinking game, do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
In the meantime, listeners, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
Write a review.
Write a full review. Give us a bunch of stars because this is the way that we are going to continue to do. The more listeners we get, the more reviews we get, the more stars we get.
We can get some of these names that Natalie keeps dropping to maybe do the show.
We get to keep doing this and you get to keep listening. So it's very, very, if you're a fan of the show, please continue to tell your friends and have your friends rate and review. And, you know, send us emails. Let us know what you're thinking. Email us at emailpassions@gmail.com. We're doing little mini-sodes on Thursday that drop on Thursdays where we read listener email. Go on Twitter. Tweet us at Passions4.
F-O-R.
F-O-R. At Passions4. And on Instagram, we are at PassionsForLifePod. Let us know all your thoughts.
Yeah, we have some fun on the IG.
Mm-hmm. We do. We
Natalie
have fun.
And I busted out some old photos and some old
yeah,
articles.
We got some. Yeah, I need to get back into that. And Ben, as always, thank you for your time.
Happy to be here.
And we'll see you next week. Well, we'll hear you next week. You'll hear us next week.
Yay.
Yay. Bye.
Bye.